Good afternoon, it's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Wednesday the 7th of December the year 2011. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll find out about this weekend's Juneau Dance Unlimited performances of the Nutcracker with guest Juneau Dance Unlimited Artistic Director Philip Crowder and a number of dancers in the studio. Colette Costa will be here to talk about a unique Christmas show at the Goldtown Nickelodeon on Sunday. We'll talk about the community outreach efforts with Jeffrey Clow from Eagle Crest. That Writer's Almanac Music and more today on a Juneau afternoon. Weather forecast for tonight, snow developing by late evening with accumulation of 1 to 3 inches expected. Forecast for Thursday looks like rain. High temperatures around 38 degrees. Forecast for Thursday night, more rain with low temperatures around 34 degrees.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Green energy advocates say Indian country is ripe for investments in wind and solar energy, yet many tribes still haven't latched on to the new technologies. Matt Laszlo reports from Washington, D.C.
LaVon Thomas was named a champion of change by the White House for his work in promoting clean energy. He sits on the Navajo Green Economy Commission, which promotes renewable energy on the Navajo Nation's land. Thomas says tribes are falling behind in the growing green industry, and he'd like to see leaders more actively invest in the technologies.
So a lot of tribal lands have opportunities for renewable energy. A lot of wind and solar could be used for there, especially in the southwest and in the plain states. Native lands are just full of opportunities.
An impediment for many tribes is access to capital so they can invest in clean energy. The federal government has loan programs for renewable energy investments, but the process can be confusing and tedious. Heather Higginbottom is the deputy director of the Office of Management and Budget. She says the agency has set up a working group to help tribes.
Indian country has a great need for capital and small business loans, and the goal of this group is to ensure that there is greater access to these federal loan and credit programs.
With more than $1 trillion in budget cuts slated to fall on the federal budget, loans could be harder to get in the coming years. So government officials urge tribes to get an early start if they want to apply for government loans. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington, D.C.
Canada's Assembly of First Nations is asking the United Nations to monitor the Canadian government's handling of a housing crisis on a remote Ontario reserve. And as Dan Karpinchuk reports, some leaders say they are not ruling out more drastic action.
The two-day meeting of chiefs in Ottawa has been almost completely overshadowed by the housing crisis at the reserve at Attawapiskat in northern Ontario. The chiefs voted to ask the United Nations to appoint a special rapporteur to examine whether the government of Prime Minister Stephen Harper met its obligations under Canadian and international treaties in how it handled the housing crisis. The chief's resolution also asks Ottawa's Aboriginal Affairs Minister to cease imposing measures such as the third-party financial management it sent to the reserve. Indignation among First Nations leaders has been unanimous. They say Attawapiskat is just one of about 100 reserves that are in crisis. Ontario Regional Chief Stan Lutet says some Native leaders are so angry they're not ruling out civil disobedience.
We have done that before. We're ready to do that because we're left no alternative. There's no alternative here. There's a unilateral action by another party while a crisis. It's morally wrong and it is not right.
In the latest statement from the government, the Minister of Aboriginal Affairs asked for a meeting with the chief of the Attawapiskat First Nation to talk about ways of addressing the urgent health and safety needs of the people. The chief, Teresa Spence, had earlier asked why, when the call for help went out in the first place, instead of the desperately needed aid, the reserve was sent an accountant instead. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, announced today support for legislation change to allow tribal governments to apply directly for federal disaster aid. Currently, only state governors can apply for FEMA aid. The change would have to be made by amending the Stafford Act to allow federally recognized tribes to make the request directly to the president. The agency says the issue was discussed during tribal consultations. The human rights organization Amnesty International is supporting the Stand Against Violence and Empower Native Women Act. The bill would empower tribes to prosecute violent crimes and improve prevention programs. The Senate Committee on Indian Affairs is scheduled to mark up the legislation Thursday. The organization is urging for its passage to help end violence against Native women in the United States. During this week in 1924, the Wupatki National Monument was established in Arizona. The pueblo was occupied by Native people in the 12th century and was a meeting place of different cultures. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
If you are a Native American who experienced discrimination from the USDA while trying to get a farm loan, you can get free legal help with filing a claim at meetings held around the country through December. Details and a schedule of meetings is at IndianFarmClass.com or 1-888-233-5506.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon, and I've got a gaggle of people here in the studio here to talk about the Juneau Dance Unlimited performances at the Nutcracker, December 9th, 10th, 11th at the Juneau Douglas High School Auditorium. Philip Carter is the Art District Director, and also Charlotte Trude is the Chair of the Board. And everybody else, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Philip, you're the new Artistic Director, but you're no stranger to Juneau.
No, I've been associated with Juneau Dance Unlimited going on 8 years now. And I think I came here back in 2003, and Janice Hurley, our old artistic director, retired, and they offered me the job, and I accepted because I love Juneau so much.
What attracts you to dance?
I've been dancing since I was 10 years old. I took my first ballet class in 1969, the summer I turned 10, and I've been dancing every day since.
Charlotte Trude is the chair of the board. Charlotte, tell me about Juneau Dance Unlimited, if you could, please.
Oh, sure. Juneau Dance Unlimited has been in Juneau for about 36 years. We just celebrated our 36th birthday. We're a nonprofit organization. We have about 200 families involved in our program, and we offer dance in all the different genres of dance, ballet, modern, jazz, hip-hop, musical theater dance classes are now offered, and we're going to try a new offering of tap dance this next semester. Mm-hmm. So there's something out there for everybody to come and enjoy
in
our
dance classes.
Theater
also.
Dance, right.
Yes. So what makes the Nutcracker a holiday classic, and anybody can answer on that one?
Well, the Nutcracker is a very American Christmas family tradition for many people to come who normally don't come to see dance or ballet. They'll come and see the Nutcracker, and hopefully that will educate them to come and see other performances later in the year, other repertory shows. The Nutcracker is a wonderful family experience. It tells a great story about a little girl and her Nutcracker who takes her on a fantasy. You see battling mice, the Mouse King, the Nutcracker Prince, snowflakes floating through the air, flowers twirling, Russians jumping, leaping, sugar plum fairy dancing on points. It's a wonderful, wonderful holiday ballet.
And usually you have guest dancers coming in from out of town to be the sugar plum fairy, but you've got a local dancer.
Yes. This year we're going to have Misha Culliver. She's a local girl who's been at JDU for many years, and she now is accomplished enough with her point work to do the lead. She's going to be the Sugar Plum Fairy this year. We brought in Michael Galloway from Northern California, from Company C, to be her cavalier, her prince, who's going to dance with her, the Grand Pas de Deux. And we really, really look forward to seeing them dance on stage together.
Misha, could you go over a little bit what attracts you to dance?
I like dancing because it's a big challenge for me, and it's also another way to express different emotions. And I just kept with it because it just challenged me, and it's just a fun thing to do on your free time.
Tell me about dancing on point.
Dancing on point is just dancing like on your toes, and it's hard to get to that level, but once you get there, it's just practicing to get over your arches and just balancing. It's another way to balance, I guess.
Technique.
Yeah, technique.
Michael, you want to talk about your background, please?
Well, I grew up in Alabama, and I started dancing at a really late age, actually, like 16 or so. But I loved it so much, I've since just devoted most of the rest of my life to it. And I'm 25 now, so I've been dancing for about 8 years or so, two of those years professionally. And I love it. I wouldn't rather be doing anything else.
And the roles you play?
In the Nutcracker? I'm the Cavalier, the Sugar Plum Fairy Cavalier.
All right. And how many dancers do you have? You said earlier about How many?
We have about 40 dancers in this production. The JDU school has about 190 students all together in all the classes that we offer. But in this particular production, we have about 40 dancers. Some of them are local people, too, that have auditioned. Some of the adults come from the community, the local Juno community. It's wonderful to have them, you know, working with us, and we really enjoy it.
I imagine some dancers learn to dance before they learn to walk. What's the progression of a young dancer?
Most dancers start, many start at about the age of 3. They take creative movement classes, and they slowly graduate up into basic ballet, classical ballet technique training. And then eventually they become accomplished enough to where they can start doing point work. Misha's a good example of that. She's 15 years old, going on 16. Yeah, and so how long have you been on point?
I've been on point for 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years. So after three years, she's become quite accomplished, and that's the goal that a lot of girls have, to be able to do the point work and to eventually join a ballet company. Many of them do.
We have a couple other dancers in the studio with us. Could you please tell your name and what you play in the performances?
I'm Marissa Truitt, and I'm a Big Mice, Snow, Flowers, Chinese, and Spanish.
I'm Sydney Truitt, and I'm Clara.
Sydney, what attracts you to dance?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you like to dance?
It's really fun, and my little sister did it, so I wanted to do it too.
And what makes you want to dance?
The same reason. My older sister did it, and then I wanted to do it too.
It's a dancing family. The dancing Truitt girls.
Philip, what's the key to success when encouraging young dancers to do their best?
It's really wonderful to see these kids concentrate and give themselves the kind of discipline they need to become accomplished at classical ballet technique. I've been watching children develop themselves for years, and it's just, I can't even describe to you how wonderful it is to watch them develop themselves to the point where they can actually express themselves artistically and technically.
I'm talking to people involved in the Juno Dance Unlimited performance of The Nutcracker December 9th, 10th, and 11th at the Juno Nicholas High School Auditorium. What makes this year's performances special?
Well, this year we're going to have some new costumes for the Waltz of the Flowers. Also, Spanish is going to have some new costumes. They're absolutely beautiful, very lovely costumes. And the girls are all going to be dancing on point this year for the Snow dance, the section that they do. They haven't done that in the past, but we have a lot of strong dancers this year, so they're going to be dancing on point. And we've expanded some of the other dances to include more dancers, Spanish, Merletons. We're going to have a man doing the Russian dance. We have Misha doing the Sugar Plum Fairy this year, and we brought in Michael to dance with her as her cavalier. It's just going to be a wonderful production this year.
And the performance show dates and times are?
It's going to be December 9th at 7 p.m., December 10th at 7 p.m., and December 11th at 2 p.m. That's a matinee at the Juno Douglas High School Auditorium. And you can get tickets at the Jack, Hearthside Books, at JDU, or at the door.
All right, sounds like a fun, exciting time. I imagine a lot of dancers who are dancing now saw this Nutcracker as one of their first dance performances and decided they wanted to dance from that moment on.
Yes, Nutcracker has always been a training ground for young dancers. That's one reason why I enjoy doing it year after year. It gives them opportunity to do roles that you can only find in the Nutcracker Ballet. You can watch them develop over the years. They start out as little baby mice, and then they graduate to toy soldiers, and then they become Spanish dancers, and later they become the Sugar Plum Fairy. So it's really wonderful to watch that progression.
We have one other new exciting thing that I wanted to mention is we're offering a new scholarship for boys that are new to our program. So for those young gentlemen who watch the Nutcracker, if they get excited about what they're seeing, please, parents, families, give our office a call or visit our website and let us hear from you, because we'd love to talk with you about new opportunities for young boys.
And the phone number to call?
It's 463-5327.
And is it 463 LEAP?
463
LEAP. Right, 463 LEAP. And our website is junodance.org.
Philip, you want to go over the show dates and times one more time, please?
Yes. December 9th at 7 p.m., December 10th at 7 p.m., and December 11th at 2 p.m. matinee. And we really look forward to seeing everybody in Juno come see us.
Are there anything you'd like to add, if we're going to ask?
No. I just would like to thank you very much for having us. You've supported us over the years, and we really appreciate that very much.
And thank you for coming down to the station. Time is 3:19 and you are tuned to KTVO News in Juneau. That's a little bit of the Nutcracker. You can see the Nutcracker December 9th, 10th, and 11th here at the Junior Lucas High School Auditorium. In the studio with me is not the Sugar Plum Fairy, but sometimes she sounds like one. That's a serious introduction for you, Claude Costier, to talk about the Christmas show at the Gold Nickelodeon this Sunday at 7 p.m.
Yeah, yes, that was...
You're dressed like a plum.
By the sweetest little introduction I think I've ever had. Wow.
You can look like a plum with that purple top on.
And I feel a lot like Violet from Willy Wonka, you know, but before she ate the bubble gum that... You look like a Violet.
Okay.
Has nothing to do with the Sugar Plum Fairy at all.
But you've got a Christmas show coming up, a unique Christmas show, so I guess
that,
way to describe it.
That we do, Jeff. It's I'm sure it's something you'll appreciate. We, you know, we talked a long time over at the Gold Time about whether we were going to do a holiday show or not, and didn't seem like we had time, and we were just going to shelve it till next year. And actually, it was Sarah Conroe who came around and kind of put the bug back in my ear. So she's kind of helping me co-produce it, and we decided we didn't want to just do a Christmas concert because, honestly, I love Christmas songs as much as anyone, but sitting through an hour of them is, unless you're Aretha Franklin, is not going to be very exciting. So we decided that we were going to set it up as if, because Sarah and I have similar families, big Italian, loud, obnoxious family that may upset a lot of people. But
they're not coming, are they?
My family will not be there. You will be safe. But we decided that what we will do is we're going to invite you guys to our family Christmas party, more or less. So it's going to be kind of a cross between our family Christmas party and a Bing Crosby holiday TV special from 1967. So we'll have, you'll come in, you're going to be invited, everyone's going to get a name tag with their own name on it, probably not their own name, but a name we give them, and everyone's going to get a present. We're going to have hot cider and holiday cookies. And then the show will be sort of a mix of live entertainment. So it'll be live music. We've got Kari Groven, Shona Strasser, Alaska's Kit, all singing. I'm going to do a couple songs, and we'll be accompanied by Tom Loker, Clay Good, Riley Woodford. So it'll be a nice that. But intermixed with that, we've got some really great holiday classic clips lined up for you. So it's going to be sort of a mixed media thing. So you'll have some great little short clips from awesome holiday pieces on there. I just found an amazing little minute and a half long Muppet clip that I've never seen before. And then in between, we'll have guests come to the door, knock. Some people may come wassailing in. And then we give presents out to everybody. And we have an extremely short sing-along at the end, and you don't have to sing if you don't want to.
It's all happening Sunday night, starting at 7 o'clock at the Gold Time Nickelodeon Theater.
Yes, it is. As close to 7 as we can get it.
And the word I got initially was this could be like a Dean Martin-inspired.
Well,
Dean Martin, Bing Crosby?
Yeah. So I guess, I've only ever seen that great Bing Crosby one where somehow David Bowie shows up and then they sing Little Drummer Boy together, which is easily, we may show that because it ranks among the strangest things ever recorded in TV history. So we kind of, that was my jumping off point, was how to make this entertaining, quality and yet completely strange and weird, as is fitting a Juno audience.
Would you call this an all ages event?
Oh, for sure. We've got Alaska's Kit is going to be doing. Actually, she was just in Greece over at the high school. She played Rizzo. She did an awesome job. She's going to be doing some kind of jazzy Christmas songs. Kari is going to be doing some Norwegian Christmas carols, which I'm sure are going to be wonderful. And Shona's going to be doing a couple tunes. It's definitely going to be family friendly. It's although I would really recommend not bringing kids who can't sit still for an hour. Although this is going to be kind of like ADD theater. So there'll be a lot going on.
Refreshments, entertainment, and presents to boot.
And presents to boot, Jeff. Good for, and an appearance by the Off the Hook Honeys, the my little dance troupe there. They're going to be, you know what I always loved about the Dean Martin shows and stuff? They always had like a bunch of like attractive ladies in adorable outfits just around, just there. So we're gonna have that. They'll be there, and they'll serve a purpose, of course. But they're just gonna give it a little bit of class, I think. Hopefully.
What is the cost to get in this classy event?
This classy event is going to be, it's 10 in advance, and you can get tickets at the theater in the next couple days, or $12 at the door, and it comes with free hot cider. Did we mention the hot cider?
But you just did.
Yeah, like twice. Yeah, it's gonna be a heck of a thing, and yeah, we're looking forward to people coming down, and you will not be assailed with endless Christmas songs.
You wassailed instead.
You'll be wassailed.
It's all happening Sunday starting at 7 o'clock?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Gold Town right in the Emporium behind City Hall there.
Gold Town, Nickelodeon, isn't that something going on tonight?
We do. You know, we're trying to be more of a mixed venue, you know, and we still have our regular movies. We have a great movie opening this week, Take Shelter. It's going to be playing. In fact, I should say that I'm cutting the Sunday 7 o'clock show because we're doing the live show. So our movie schedule is just going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7. But tonight, Wednesday, starting at 7, and I mean 7 sharp, because Cheryl has got me on a very short leash this time. Myself and Robert Sewell are going to be co-hosting the second KRNN live concert series, and it's going to be based on Robert Sewell's Take 5 radio show, and it's called Take 5 Live. It's going to be Robert Cohen, Adrian Minney, Clay Good, and
Doug Bridges.
Doug Bridges, thank you. Playing the saxophone.
And this tasty jazz for the holiday season?
Very, very much so. They're doing instrumental jazz concerts, and I think tickets are still available, and they are 12. I think you can still get them online at KRNN.org. And I think they're 12 in advance or 15 at the door, but it comes with a free drink. Let's throw that in there. But this is also an all-ages event. We have a separate door, a separate entrance for under 21s. They, unfortunately, don't get a free drink. So maybe they can give their ticket to their mom or dad. Anyway, but we still have tickets, and you can just come down to the theater at, I'd get there by 6:30 for sure if you want to get a ticket.
Tickets are indeed going fast.
Yeah, it's going to be a great lineup. Robert and those guys have been practicing for at least 3 or 4 hours. Near as I can tell. No, they're doing a great job, and Robert Sewell is going to help us all understand jazz a little bit better.
We're going to listen to some Robert Sewell and some Robert Cohen and some friends here in just a little bit, but we could close out this part of the interview with a little holiday music to get us ready for the...
I knew I wasn't going to get out of it. Yeah.
Did you want to sing a little bit?
No, not at all. But I appreciate the offer. Thank you, Jeff.
Glad Coster, thank you for coming in. December 7th, December...
11th
at 7 p.m. That's this Sunday at the Gold Town Nickelodeon Theater. If people need more information about that, the Gold Town, is there a phone number?
586-2875.
Well, thank you for coming by.
Thank you, Jeff, as always.
Can you hear them? you hear them bells ringing, bringing joy. You ought to hear them singing. When it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Christmas time's coming.
And it's something brand new from the Skaggs Family Band's second Christmas collection. Time is 3:31, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest is Director of Snow Sports at Eagle Crest, Jeffrey Clow, here to talk about community outreach today. Jeffrey, thank you for coming down.
Thanks for having me on the show today, Jeff.
First question, what's it look like on the hill?
Well, it's still white, and I'm sure people, the way the rain came down the other day, people are probably wondering that. But we did get rain up in the mountain. But then a couple nights ago, we did get another inch of snow. So having us be closed when we got that heavy rain was a good thing, because now the water can drain out of the snow. And by the time everybody gets up there this weekend, hopefully we'll get some more snow and things will be back to winter.
And the general rule of thumb around this time of year is if it's raining downtown, it's snowing at Eagle Crest?
Yeah, that's generally a rule of thumb. 38 degrees seems to sort of be the cutoff. If it's 38 in town, then more than likely it's snowing up on the mountain. Of course, this week on Monday, it was a lot warmer than 38, and it was pouring on the mountain. But now we've switched around, and things are looking good.
Sounds fun. And if you need to know the temperature up there at the top of the mountain, you can look on the webcam and that'll give you all that information.
Uh-huh, at skijuneau.com. And we update it when we're open a couple of times a day. When we're not open, we update it when there's some significant changes. So,
community outreach in Eagle Crest.
Yeah, I just thought it would be fun to talk about some of the programs that we have up at Eagle Crest for the youth of Juneau. We're just finishing up going through the applications for the Hillary Lynn Scholarship Program, and we received 26 applications for that, and Friday we'll announce the winners for that. And that'll the board several years ago decided in honor of Hillary Lynn to give away 4 season passes, so we're pretty excited to announce those 4 winners. And out of those 26 applications, which is a very good turnout, we're pretty excited by that, and we do that every year. And then also another big program that we're really pushing for this year, this is in our 4th season, is all the Juneau 5th graders have the opportunity to come up to Eagle Crest and ski for free. And it's called our 5th grade passport program. And so this year our goal is to get every 5th grader in Juneau up to the mountain at least once.
And that's sponsored by a local business?
It's not sponsored by a local business. It's sponsored purely by Eagle Crest. In addition to that, we also give away 1 free lesson and 1 free rental. So if a fifth grader in Juneau has never skied or snowboarded before, they can come up, get a lesson, get a rental, and use their passport and learn how to ski or snowboard, and then come back up and enjoy the season. And fifth grade is pretty standard in the industry for doing free tickets. It's kind of the age where the youth start to become a little bit more independent, making their own decisions. So we're kind of want to get them hooked on skiing or snowboarding at a young age so that then they'll be around with us for a long time.
And I know you partner with a lot of other community organizations like Big Brothers Big Sisters and Reach and Orca.
We do. Uh-huh. We do. Big Brothers Big Sisters has an ongoing program that they do with us, and then also we'll have a Big Brothers Big Sisters Day up there in January. Orca starts their program here in another couple of weeks, and so that's great to have those folks up on the mountain as well. And then another big event that's coming up in January is for 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders. It's our annual Learn to Ski for Free weekend, and that's for kids 3rd, 4th, and 5th who have never skied before. And that's sponsored in past by Mendenhall Auto Subaru, so that's a great opportunity to get up on the mountain and learn how to ski or snow or learn how to ski.
What other businesses? It seems like you partner with a lot of them in town.
We do. Mendenhall Auto Subaru is a big partner with us, in addition to being the partner for many years for Learn to Ski and Snowboard, or Learn to Ski Weekend. They also are one of the big sponsors for our Books to Boards program, which is run through the Eagle Crest Foundation, And we work with the middle schools to identify 6th, 7th, and 8th graders who would not otherwise come up to Eagle Crest, and we get them up to the mountain. And thanks to our great partnership with Mendenhall Auto Subaru and a grant from Holland America Line, we're able to make those youngsters come up and able to ski and snowboard on the mountain.
A lot of fun stuff happening up at Eagle Crest.
There really is, and it's great to see the new snow. And this year with our second year of our Porcupine chairlift, our new chairlift. Last year at this time, we were still just trying to figure out the impact that it was going to have, and this year we know it's has a huge positive impact, and just this is the year to urge everyone to come up and learn how to ski and snowboard and take advantage of the great asset that they have in their backyard.
All right, Jeffrey Kyle from Eagle Crest here to talk about community outreach and other activities up at the Capital Cities and Fine Mountain Ski Resort we have. Anything like that I might have forgotten to ask?
The only thing is I know that in December our calendar is a little confusing for folks, so I just thought I'd let people know what it was. We're open this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then we'll be closed Monday through Thursday next week, and then starting on the 16th of December, we'll be open daily through January 2nd, except for closed Christmas Day. And then starting the week of January 2nd, we'll return to our normal operating schedule of open Thursday through Monday and closed on Tuesday and Wednesday.
And you can get all that information by going to skijuno.com.
That is correct.
All right, thanks for coming by, Jeff.
All right, thanks, Jeff.
And here's the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 7th of December, 2011. It's the birthday of Willa Cather, born near Winchester, Virginia, 1873. She was just 9 when her family moved to Nebraska, and she looked out on the Nebraska prairie that became the setting of her great novels, O Pioneers and My Antonia. She did her writing in New York City. She was an editor at McClure's magazine there. She lived in a studio apartment in a red brick row house on Washington Square. She wrote one novel that was rather forced, her first novel, and then her novel, O Pioneers, about Nebraska, which she said was like riding a horse through familiar country. And the first novel, she said, was like riding in a carriage and trying to make conversation with someone you don't like. It's the birthday of linguist and writer Noam Chomsky, Philadelphia, 1928, who said we shouldn't be looking for heroes, we should be looking for good ideas. It's the birthday of the novelist Susan Minot, Boston, 1956. One of 7 children, grew up on a town on the coast of Massachusetts. She said, one of the reasons I became a writer is that I had to go into a room and sit down in order to know what was going on in my head. Her father was an alcoholic when she was a senior at Brown. Her mother died in a car crash. In 1986, Susan Minot published Monkeys, a book of connected stories drawing heavily on her own life, the story of a family of 7 raised in an upper-class New England family, alcoholic father, warm Irish Catholic mother who dies in a car crash. Susan Minot said, the word dysfunction has, I think, served its purpose and now has lost its meaning. Every family, like every person, is imperfect after all. The idea that there is a family somewhere who functions is an odd concept. In my youth, I was running from my family to try to find out who I was. Their influence distracted me. Now I see what a powerful hold they have, no matter what. It was on this day, 1941, Japanese planes attacked the naval base at Pearl Harbor. More than 2,300 Americans died in the attack. And the United States joined World War II, which it had stayed out of for more than 2 years. And it was on this day, 1972, astronauts on the Apollo 17 spacecraft took a famous photograph of Earth, a photo that came to be known as the Blue Marble. Back in 1948, the astronomer Fred Hoyle said, once a photograph of the Earth taken from the outside is available, once the sheer isolation of the Earth becomes plain, a new idea, as powerful as any in history, will be let loose. The picture taken in 1972 was the first clear photo of the Earth. The sun was at the astronaut's back, and so the planet appears lit up, and it became a symbol of the environmental movement. Here's a poem by Susan Minot on her birthday, Boston Ancestors. I hear them behind me, crossing Persian rugs on heelless shoes, drinking Dubonnet, eating nuts from the pantry, the smell of stew, talking about naval battles and varsity crew, their voices raspy with cigars in underheated rooms. Someone sewed their eyes shut with needlepoint thread, and when they speak, they make up for it in booming tones. It is somewhere out of them, alive or dead, I have sprung, yet not a person there seems to recognize me, not one. Boston Ancestors by Susan Minot, from Poems 4 A.M., published by Alfred A. Knopf, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, where your mobile device can turn into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app. You can find it online at poetryfoundation.org. Edited by Noah Smith, written by Betsy Allister. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Time is 3:41 and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau.
Support for programming is provided by the Silver Bow, with gifts and edibles for the holidays, logo emblazoned items, Christmas cookies, dinner and movie passes, gift certificates, and more. The Silver Bow, located downtown on 2nd Street.
Bob Armstrong is giving a photography presentation at the University of Alaska Southeast this Thursday night at 7 p.m. The lecture is sponsored by the Juneau Audubon Society and will be in the Egan Lecture Hall.
KRNN's performance series continues as the Gold Town Nickelodeon as Take 5 goes live. The Robert Cohen Quartet plays excellent jazz Wednesday, December 7th from 7 to 9 p.m. with Cohen on keyboards, Adrian Minnie on bass, Clay Good on drums, Doug Bridges on sax, and others. Be there. That's Wednesday, December 7th, 7 to 9 at the Gold Town. Tickets available at ktoo.org and at the door.
And from what I understand, tickets are going fast, so make sure you get your ticket soon. You may not want to wait until you get to the door. You can come by KTUO during normal business hours, probably until about 4:30 or so, and somebody will be able to sell you a ticket that way. Here's a little bit of music from Robert Cohen Quartet. Thank you. Robert Cohen Quintet featuring Robert Cohen, Clay Good, Adrian Minnie, and Doug Bridges will be performing tonight at 7 o'clock at the Goldtown Nickelodeon Theater. Tickets are available in advance while they last. Now, you may be able to get them at the door, but check it out anyway. Got a new CD at the station today from Yo-Yo Ma and Friends, Songs of Joy and Peace. It's Yo-Yo Ma performing with James Taylor.
Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, I say, it's all right. Little darling, the smiles returning to their faces. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
Tonight on 360 North, a night with John Muir. Naturalist John Muir founded the Sierra Club and is often referred to as the father of our country's national parks. 360 North celebrates the life of this preservationist with John Muir and the New World at 8, and Lee Stetson, the voice of John Muir, at 9:30. 3 hours of specials about the man and the lands he worked to preserve. It's a great way to look at Alaska tonight on 360 North. Learn more at 360north.org.
Here's Yo-Yo Ma with another one of his friends, Natalie McMaster.
Angels did appear, which put the
What's on your wish list this year?
Oh, let's see. Subscriptions to Wooden Boat, Fine Home Building, the Indiana Jones box set, and Cabela's Big Game Hunting for PlayStation 3.
Is that all?
That's a start.
Here. Done and done.
What is it? A gift card?
It's a library card. The best gift card in town.
Go see what you'll discover at the Juneau Public Library. Popular magazines, DVDs, video games, and so much more than great books. Visit any of the Juneau Public Libraries and get your card.
My mistake, that was not Natalie McMaster, that was Allison Krauss. This is Natalie McMaster. You are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTUO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Auk Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1, K220 BT Sarsuna at 91.9. An excursion inland and icy straight here, KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. Also live online at www.ktoo.org. Coming up tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon, we'll talk with Gustavus author Hank Lentfer about his new book, Faith of Cranes, prior to his presentation tomorrow night at Hearthside Books in the Nugget Mall. Jeremy Johnson will be here to talk about Sunday's casual game day. Candace Winkler and Travis Gilmore will be here to highlight the Alaska Community Foundation. And Nancy DeTuney will give us a rundown on art happenings in the capital city during Arts Up. The Writer's Almanac Music and more tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon. We have next is All Things Considered. Thank you for tuning in to Juneau afternoon today. If you know somebody who would like to be on a Juneau afternoon or you'd like to get yourself to be on it, please give me a call. My name is Jeff Brown. My phone number is 463-6425. Drive carefully and have a great night. Tonight at the concert at the Colton Nickelodeon with Robert Cohen's Quartet.
Compliance was terrible. Not just Greece. I mean, pretty much everybody broke the rules.
Will the next European Union Economic Pact be as ineffective as earlier ones?
It's Wednesday, December 7th, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News.
I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Lynn Neary. Coming up, we'll look back to the 1997 agreement on European budget deficit.
Also, the man who was called in to sort out the Greek government's books now stands accused of cooking them.
And a new biography of diplomat and historian George Kennan.
His policy of containment defended democracy in Europe, but he often despaired of democracy here.
George Kennan holds some kind of record for despair. He was never comfortable with what he was doing, but I think what he tried to do was to hold America to impossibly high standards.
First News.